Boy, it's a blessing to be here this morning. I just appreciate all that sharing. That is so, so good for us to share together and bring our requests up to the front here. I wish to greet you in Christ's name. Is God good? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Is God good? God is good all the time. We have a special table set this morning. I have a special message to share. The title of the message is the title of a book by Tom Rainer called I Am a Church Member. I want to give him credit right at the start here for much of the material I will be sharing with you. For most of you, these thoughts may be somewhat new. For the membership class, this will be somewhat of a review. After the message this morning, we want to receive and welcome into Calvary Mennonite Fellowship the five graduates of the class. Exciting things happening this morning at Calvary. Encouraging things. The modern American church has become somewhat of a consumer-oriented church. You may have heard me use the illustration of a vending machine before for the American church. We all know what vending machines are. They are usually located in strategic places where they can be of use, and we can go to those vending machines and look inside through a piece of glass, or maybe they'll just have a lot of good pictures on the outside of things that are available to us. And we can make our selection if we find something pleasing there, and we can put in our money. Anymore there at work where I work, there we can take our employee card and just swipe it through there. And we can purchase whatever it is that we want. And it takes just a moment. If we don't like what we see, we can go find another machine, right? Find another machine that we would like. There's very little commitment in our interaction with the vending machine. Very little commitment. If we put in our money and it doesn't give us what we like, we can shake the machine, right? We can shake the machine or yell at it or do whatever. I had a guy where I used to work one time. He was so upset at this machine that he went all the way out across the airplane hangar and got a big old sledgehammer. And that poor machine didn't stand a chance. But in the area of churches, churches today in the modern American culture are somewhat like that vending machine. We have very little commitment to that church in the modern American church. And I'm going to suggest this morning that we need to have commitment to a local body. We need to have commitment. And the local body needs us to have that commitment to that. So many churches today feel that it's okay that folks remain anonymous. You come to church Sunday morning, we're happy to have you. We will shake your hand. We will say, God bless you. And you can go on your way without ever telling us even your name, perhaps, and certainly not make any commitment to the church. We're happy to receive your offerings and shake your hand. And we'll preach for you some nice, comfortable sounding messages. And then you can go home back into your real life. But that's not the kind of church that God envisioned for his people. That's not the kind of church that the New Testament portrays for us and shares for us. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the analogy of a human body to portray the church. Christ is the head of the body, and we are an interconnected, interdependent, totally committed body. And I saw that illustrated here at Calvary this morning already in our sharing time. We are an interconnected body. We depend on each other. We hurt when someone else hurts. You could look at the empathy in the faces of people here when someone got up front here and shared some problem that they have. The empathy is there. We care. It's like a natural body. I told the assembly, the children's assembly, I said, it's if you stubbed your toe. the whole body reacts, right? You start getting really, I've gotten angry at my toe. Like, you know, that toe hurts. And what have you. And we react and we care about what goes on in the body. We all take care of each other. And we're committed to each other and to our head, Jesus Christ. Can you be a Christian without being a member of a local church? Yes, absolutely you can. You can be a Christian without becoming a member of the local church. But you miss out on so much. And the local church misses out on you. And I think that's the God's design is for us to not only be a part of the universal body of Christ, but also to plug in to a local body. Because the local body is where the rubber meets the road. The local body is where the things actually go on that are so important. It's where the word is preached. It's where we can be accountable for each other. That's where we can celebrate the Lord's Supper together and even wash each other's feet. We can cry together. We can laugh together. If you are part of this local church, I know that I am responsible for you, and I'm going to give account for you to God. And I hope that I will be able to do that with joy one day. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, our text for this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read from verse 12 to verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27. I invite you to stand if you're able to comfortably, and we want to read the word. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, given greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You may be seated. Tom Rainer divided his little book into six chapters, with a pledge at the end of each chapter. And I will be following that outline this morning. These are pledges that I would encourage you to make as a member of this local body. We went through this book in our membership class, and this was the encouragement that I had for the prospective new members. Pledges that we will make. I'm not going to ask you to sign to this pledge. I'm not going to ask you that, but I do encourage you to make those pledges as we go through them this morning, that you will be a member of the body. Not only a member of the universal body, which all of us as believers are, but the member of the local body, where the really, really, the gutsy things actually happen in the local body. So we'll just jump right into it. I am a church member, And the first pledge is, I will be a functioning church member. I will be a functioning church member. Many would look at the church as a country club type of thing, where you belong to this club and think people do neat little things for you in this club. So up front, you pay a fee to be a member, unless you're really, really important or something like that. You pay a fee to be this member. And they would look at that fee as being, okay, I come to church and I give my offerings. And that's the fee I have to the services that this church can provide for me. So I come Sunday morning and I come into the church and I give my offering when the offering time comes. And I pay my dues and the pastor will preach for me. The Sunday school teacher will teach the class for me. And the worship band will provide worship for me. I really do not like the idea of a worship band providing worship for me. I've gone to those churches, and it's kind of neat, you know. You even see announcements in the paper when they have special services. Okay, worship will be provided by, okay? Wrong! Worship is my response to God in my relationship to God. Worship can't be provided for me. What membership actually means is that we all are necessary a part of the whole, the body with many members. Membership means we are different, but we still work together. We don't pay dues to have others serve us. Membership means that everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. And I could see that love this morning here at Calvary. I could see that love. We talked about love in our Sunday school class, unselfish love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Biblical church membership gives without qualification. Biblical membership views the tithes and offerings as joyous giving. There are no strings attached. Biblical church membership serves and ministers as a natural way of doing things. Biblical church membership is a functioning church membership. So the first pledge is, because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member. Whether I'm an eye, an ear, or a hand, as a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's quite a pledge. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if you make this pledge this morning, but I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that. Make that pledge to this local body. You need to do it for your benefit. We need you to do it for the church's benefit, for the benefit of the body. You will be a functioning church member. You won't just come and have the Sunday school teacher serve you. You will come and maybe if the principal asks you, can you teach the Sunday school class? You'll say, yeah, I will. I'm not the brightest light in the chandelier, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I want to serve and I want to be a part of this body. So that's the first pledge. I will be a functioning church member. The second one is, I will be a unifying church member. I will be a unifying church member. By this, all people will know that you are my disciple if you have love for one another. Christians should get along. That thing is called unity. You have a responsibility as a church member. You are to be a source of unity. You are never to be a divisive force. You are to love your fellow church members unconditionally. And while that doesn't mean you agree with everyone all the time, it does mean you are willing to sacrifice your own preferences to keep unity in the church. I've been blessed. Folks, I have been blessed. I haven't been at this church very long, but I have been blessed by the way that we are willing to give up our own preferences for the good of the body. And that is good. One of the other things that I am going to share, and there would be many, that really can break unity in this local body, and that is the issue of gossip. How many of you agree? Gossip is something that we need to shut the door on, talking about each other behind the back. And I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. And it's not right. It's not right to be talking and talking about other people. They're a big no-no in the body of Christ. Few things can destroy unity in the church as gossip can. Don't be a source of gossip. Another huge one, we heard it already this morning, is forgiveness. 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 And I think we as a church are really, really still needing to go through that in some areas. Where we have been wronged or where we have wronged others, we need to ask forgiveness. And where we have been wrong, we need to forgive. Forgiveness is key to unity in the body of Christ. Don't be holding those grudges. You know, I've worked through forgiveness in my life, and it doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen instantly. I just shared with a brother recently, maybe this past week, that it's like, and I've used that illustration before, it's like this lady went to her pastor. She said, I can't forgive. I just can't forgive. And the pastor was standing outside, and they were looking up at the church bell tower. And the pastor said to this lady, he said, that sexton rings the bell in the old-fashioned bells. They would pull on that rope, and then the bell would go ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. He said, what you need to do is let go of the rope. You keep bringing these things up in your own mind, and the bell will keep ringing. Will keep ringing. Let go of the rope. Eventually, it'll slow down, and eventually, it will stop. Forgiveness in the body of Christ is so vital. We need to do that. If we want to have a unified church, we need to forgive. We need to let go of the rope. Jesus says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Folks, we can't afford it. God has to be able to forgive us. So the second pledge, I will be a unifying church member. I will seek to be a source of unity in my church. I know there are no perfect pastors. Oh, you better believe it. There are perfect staff or other church members, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. One of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can in God's power to help keep the church in unity for the sake of the gospel. Amen? Yes. Amen. And this is work. This is work. We got to let go of those grievances. We got to quit that gossiping. We got to quit those things that spread disunity. You know, the devil just loves disunity in a local body. If he can somehow forge in here with some disunity, he'll do it. He will do it. So that's the second pledge. I will be a unifying church member. Thirdly, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. I will not insist on my preferences and desires in the local body. I have desires, all of us do. But I will subjugate those desires to the betterment of the church. That's an ongoing thing, Folks, that is an ongoing thing. Our desire is as a part of the body. Let's say I am the kidney or the liver or whatever it is. My focus here is to serve God, which is the head, obviously, or Jesus Christ, which is the head of the church. But it's also to serve those around us. And Jesus set the perfect example of being a servant. He said, I am, you know, your Lord and Master. If I've done this for you, you can do it for each other. You are to do it for each other. So being a servant is letting go of my exact preferences. Now, right and wrong, we can't let those go. But if it's just, you know, oh my goodness, I'd like the service to be a little shorter, okay, or the preacher preaches too long, or, you know, these little preferences that I have about whether, you know, whatever, what songs we sing, or whatever it may be that you have preferences about, let them go, okay? It's not a big deal. The mind of Christ is one of service. The mind of Christ is one that he let go of his privileges of the Godhead and came to earth to serve us. And we should have that same mind. So the third pledge is, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. That is self-serving. I am a member in this church to serve others and to serve Christ. My Savior went to a cross for me. I can deal with any inconveniences in matters that just aren't my preference or style. Amen. I can do that. I can do that. Number four, I will pray for my church leaders. I will pray for my church leaders. Pray for the leadership team here at Calvary as we have accepted an awesome responsibility to shepherd the flock. Pray for us and our families. Pray for our protection. We are to be an example. We are held to a higher standard. People would debate that, but yes, we are. Those who lead out are held to a higher standard. The devil has set a trap for the leaders of our church. The devil loves to set those traps. A temptation where his reputation will be harmed. And God works through the prayers of church members. I have felt it. I personally have felt it. And I know the others of our leadership team have felt that prayer that has been offered for us. Pray for our physical and mental health. Yeah, we're subject to the same physical limitations as anybody is, maybe more so, and mentally and physically. Pray for wisdom. Pray for priorities. Pray for balance. And that we would seek God's approval above all, rather than the approval of men. Fourth pledge. I will pray for my pastor every day, and that would include others in the leadership team. I understand that the pastor's work is never ending. His days are filled with numerous demands that bring emotional highs and lows. He must deal with critics. He must be a good husband and father. Because my pastor cannot do all things in his own power, I will pray for his strength and wisdom daily. Please do that. Prayer makes a huge difference. And as I just said earlier, I have felt it. And I know others have. I have felt it when somebody was praying. Somebody is praying. And I know I couldn't have done this on my own. I am so limited. I don't have the abilities that others have. I am so limited, but I have felt the prayers of the people of God. Number five, I will lead my family to be healthy church members. I will lead out in my family to be healthy church members. A story from Tom Rainer in his book. His name was Bob. He died a few years ago, but if he influenced just a few people like he influenced me, this relatively unknown and quiet man changed the world. Bob always seemed to be at the church. I understand that some people show up at church every time the doors are open out of guilt or legalistic obligation. Not Bob. He was always joyous, always serving, always kind. You could tell he loved serving the church. The same could be said about Bob's wife and two sons. They too seemed to love the church and to find joy in serving. The whole family was, well, different, but different in a good kind of way, if you know what I mean. I was a young businessman in my early 20s. I had been married for 3 years. I had just become a dad. Fatherhood hit me like a ton of bricks. I wanted to be a good husband and a good dad, and that meant getting involved at church, really involved. I didn't know it at the time, but Bob was watching me. He was concerned for me. He loved my youthful enthusiasm, but he knew what was coming. The more I got involved, the more I would see the imperfections of the church, the pastor, the staff, and other church members. Bob had seen the pattern repeatedly. Get excited about church. Get more involved. Discover the imperfections of the church. Get discouraged about the church. Leave the church. Bob took me under his wing. When I would begin to get angry, frustrated, or discouraged about something at the church, he would talk to me. He would explain that no church is perfect, no pastor is perfect, no church member is perfect, and he would gently remind me that I was not close to perfect either. He told me that we were to find joy in serving the church and those in the church. We were not a part of the church to see what we could get out of it. We were a part of the church to serve and care for others. Our perspective should always be on giving, not receiving. And if someone did something that disappointed or frustrated us, that was God's way of telling us to pray for that person. Bob told me that we could never have the perfection of Christ, but that we could strive to be more like him. He reminded me that Christ died on the cross for people who rebelled against him. We should be able, therefore, to love the seemingly unlovable at our church. Through Bob's patient biblical teaching, I learned to love the local church. I learned to love the people despite their imperfections. Bob would teach me to look at the log in my eye, my own imperfections, before I judged the speck in others' eyes. I wish my own parents had taught me how to love the local church, but Bob was a good spiritual father to me. By the way, Bob's two sons are grown men now, and it's no surprise they are serving and loving their local churches just like their dad. After all, he taught them well. I tell young people in ministry, you're going to short something in your life. There is something in your life that you're going to cut short. There's not enough of you to go around. It's just a matter of what you cut short. There is not enough of you to go around. I know that from experience. There is not enough of you to go around. You can't do everything that is expected of you. You're going to have to cut something. What are you going to cut? You're going to have to make those priorities. You don't cut the local church. That is a vital part of being a good dad. You don't cut it. That's one of those things that you don't cut. You got to set the priority. Praying together as a family for the church, for spiritual protection, for protection from moral failure, for the preaching of the word, for their families, for encouragement, for physical strength, for courage, for discernment, for wisdom in their leadership. Worshiping together as a family, falling in deeply in love with the bride of Christ, even when the feeling is gone. Doing the loving things. So the fifth pledge is, I will lead my family to be good members of this church as well. We will pray together for our church. We will worship together in our church. We will serve together in our church, and we will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with this church because he gives his life for her. For some of you, that your children are not going to be a part of this local body. They're going to be part of another local body. That's okay. Okay, that's okay. But in whatever church that they become a part of, plug in. That's been my counsel to our children. except for Joel, they aren't part of this church. But my encouragement to them is plug in somewhere, even though it's maybe at a church that I'm not really terribly happy with. Plug into that church. Do things for that church. Okay, finally, number 6, I will treasure church membership as a gift. I will treasure church membership as a gift. Salvation is a gift. Church membership is a gift. Excitement, because it is a gift. Universal church or local church, a lot of people would argue one way or the other. I'm going to argue very heavily on the local church being your church, whether it's Calvary Mennonite Fellowship or whether it's some other local body. Let the local church be where the rubber meets the road, because that is where the rubber meets the road. Be excited about that gift. It's a mission field for you. It's a service opportunity. That helps me a lot, is to understand it is a place where I can serve. This membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I soon thereafter identified with a local body and was baptized. And now I am humbled and honored to serve and to love others in our church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and an opportunity to serve others and to be part of something so much greater than any one person or member. Look at it as a privilege, as a gift. How can I wrap up this message? What a list of pledges to the body of Christ. Is it important to commit to a local body? Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. For each of us as individual members of the body of Christ, for the well-being of the church, I commend you all here at Calvary for your commitment. I've been blessed by seeing the commitment of many of you. It's a blessing to be a part of this local body of believers. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for this local body of believers. Thank you for Calvary Mennonite Fellowship. We've got all kinds of imperfections. We have all kinds of warts. We have all kinds of things wrong with us. We just need you to keep working with us as a body. God, just give us a view of serving each other in this local body. A view of church membership as a chance to plug in and to commit to the local body the way that you intend for us all to do. Bless Calvary Mennonite Fellowship. Thank you for the way you have been blessing. And I just pray that you would continue that and give us all servants' hearts as we move forward from here. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.